really nice to meet you, Mrs. Bernstein. I didn't catch your first name, but because we never met yet. Penina, yes? Okay, beautiful. And it's beautiful to be with all of you. I miss coming to Stern and being able to see you at Stern College. So welcome to my house. I try to find a light and bright place. I'm not sure if I picked the very best spot, but hopefully I did. And it's amazing that Torah can just reach all over the world, over the states. I have no idea. No concept really, but I am certain that I am at least reaching Arba Tzfutzot, North America. I don't know if I'm further than that, but I may be. anybody in South America or Europe or Eretz Yisrael? Okay, so we're North America, but we're certainly Arba Tzfutzot without a doubt. And I know this is a series on tefillah, and in fact, I'd like to begin this class with my own personal tefillah of Hashem. Svasai tiftach ufi yagiti lasecha. It is a zechus to be here with you. It is a zechus to be giving a shir le'iloi nishma, the very, very chashuv lambs who certainly represented every aspect of the Torah and Derech Eretz ideology of Yeshiva University. And I think nothing further represents that greater than the fact that there is no university now and they're still offering you Torah classes, which is so, so very beautiful. And Ashreichem, and how fortunate are all of you. So I figured once we were doing this, I could show off some newly acquired skill that I have. I, Baruch Hashem, just this year learned how to use PowerPoints. And when I come to Stern College, I don't come equipped for that. I apologize, but it's easier for my computer at home. And this one was created just for you today. So my brain is kind of like fuzzy even from working on this PowerPoint, but here we go, share screen, and here we go. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara tells us, Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Ninalu Sharei Tefillah, the gates of Tefillah are locked. The Afalpi, and even though, so Sharei Tefillah Ninhalu, even though the gates of Tefillah are locked, Shari dimalo nanalu v'chulei. The gates of crying have never been locked. And certainly this is a famous chazal. I'm sure many of you have seen it, have heard it before. And the message to us clearly is that tefillah has even all the more so become something that must involve heart, must involve depth, must involve feeling. And we know that it is meant to be building a relationship. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. What really is that relationship of prayer that we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that he gifted us with? And that today we're told, and it's not hard for us. I can start crying now. We're women, you know. That we need to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have so much that we really need to cry about right now. And understanding that these cries and this kind of prayer opens the gates. And what it means to open the gates and what it means that sometimes we open, but we don't go in the direction that we thought we were going in and that Hashem takes us elsewhere. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We know that the word, by the way, the contemporary Ashkenazi word for tefillah is davening. I think it's always important whenever I give a shiur on a tefillah that we understand that the word daven is milashon de'avuhon, which is Aramaic for the awareness that we have a father in heaven. And that's what tefillah is. That is davening. That is de'avuhon. And that tefillah is certainly not a grocery list. It's not just meant to be, God, I need this, 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 and this. And that's why I'm here to talk to you today, because this is what I need. And that's what it's all about. Even though we do know that it's fascinating, anything that we have in Judaism has its tefillah. Everything has its tefillah. There's its tefillah for eating. There's its tefillah for going to sleep. There's its tefillah for waking up. There's its tefillah for going on a trip. There's its tefillah for everything. But it's not meant to be just the grocery list and check off, check off, check off, check off. And now I got it. Good. Done. And I'm going to quote to you two different Gemaras that really have the same lesson. It's a famous lesson. And the first one is from Chulin. Hachayim nivru biyom hashlishi libriyat ha'olam. Grass was created on the third day of creation. Lo tamchu me'al pnei hakarka, but nothing grew. Ad sheba Adam harishon ubikesh rachamim v'yardu geshamim v'tzamchu. Until Adam harishon showed up and the rain came down and things started to grow. L'lamei shehakadosh baruch hu mitaveh l'tfilas anshel tzadikim, to teach us that God desires the prayers of the righteous. L'fiza efshar lahaspir tzadira b'tzukim. Now we can understand the stira, the contradiction in the verses. B'yom hashlishi ne'amar in Bereishis aleph yud aleph tacha aretz desha. On the third day, it says the land should grow grass. Ulumazus achakach ne'amar Bereishis beis hay. In the second parak, pasuk hay, it says v'chol siach hasadak ter mi'eh ba'aretz. Nothing had yet grown. V'harei kvar b'yom shlishi hotzi aretz desha. Shouldn't it be that on the third day grass grew? Ela she'amdu hatshaim al pesach ha'aretz. The grass stood at the opening to the earth, v'himtinu l'tfilasan shel Adam HaRishon, and the grass was waiting for the prayers of Adam HaRishon, she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'aveh l'tfilasan shel Tzadikim, because God desires the prayers of the righteous. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us, similarly, and there are a number of Gemaras that cite this theme of Hashem mitaveh l'tfilasan shel tzadikim, but these are the two most famous. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mipnei ma hayu avoteinu, why were our forefathers, Avram v'Sara, Yitzchak v'Rivka, Yaakov v'Rachel, why were all of these pairs? In fact, we know Leah should have been barren, because she cried for so many years, because she thought she would marry Esav, she was not barren. Why were they all akurim, why were they barren? Mipnei shehakadosh baruch hu, because God desires the prayers of the righteous. And of course, our question is, God doesn't need anything. God, what does it mean God desires? God doesn't have like, oh, if I don't have this, I'm not God anymore. God is perfect. God has all. But why did he create this world? We know how kol bidei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heavens except for, are we going to fear him? Or are we going to see him? Are we going to know it's there? And the purpose of prayer, based on these two Gemaras and this Chazal, which is so famous, that Hashem is mis'aveh l'tfilasan shel tzadikim, that God desires, whoops, the prayers of the righteous. I didn't want to get there just yet. God wants a relationship with us. And the one question that we can never answer, because this is where we go to the place of Tamim Pa'alo, that Venistarim Darkav, that his ways are mysterious. He created us creatures of such that it is when we are suffering that we recognize that we need him. That he created that psyche in us possibly is because this is the best psyche for us to reach out to him. But we don't understand why he created the psyche within people. This is the way he made us. And this is how it works. Says Rav Dessler in more than one place, and I think these words are so powerful. Kedai v'tov v'yafe latzadik. It is worthwhile. It is good. It is nice. It is wonderful for the tzadik to suffer, because he's going to do what Hashem wants. What does Hashem want? The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Harini es marayich, I want to see you. Hashmini es kolech, I want to hear your voice. Ki kolech arev umarech nava, because you have such a sweet voice. And your vision is so pleasant. Hashem says, I want to hear you. And for the tzaddik to get that much closer to Hashem, Hashem is going to make him suffer, so that he reaches out more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's kedai v'tov v'yafeh. It's worthwhile. It's good. This is, again, Rav Dessler's words. And we're going to be looking at more of his words inside in a number of slides. This is the koach of the tefillah. That the tefillah is supposed to be something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what I wanted. I wanted this closeness with you. I wanted it. And I'm going to share with you the words of the Mashgiach, Rav Yehuda Leib Chasman, who talks about the concept of the Karban Ola that is described as having a Reach Nichoach LaHashem. You see the pasuk here on the page. That the Koach of a Karban was that it had a sweet smelling, It had a sweet smell to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uneshalma parim svasein. We know we do not have a mizbeach, we do not have a karban. Our tefillah today is our lips, and it is the avoda of our lips. As the Gemara in Tainus teaches us, ezehu avoda shemalev zehu tefillah. What is the service of the heart that is tefillah? Mahi tefillah, avoda shemalev. This is a quote from the Gemara in Tainus Beis in the context of al shlosha devarim ha'olam omei, that the world stands on three things, which is the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Aleph. The world stands on three things, al Torah v'avoda, al gemilas chasadim on Torah, on avoda, and on gemilas chasadim on kindness. And we ask, what is avoda? And the Gemara in Tainus asks us, what is avoda? Avoda shebalev is tefillah. Tefillah is a work of heart. Kavanas halev b'machshavto u'bilvavo elav. It is the intention of the heart, which, by the way, was the karban process as well when they were bringing karbanos. A person was supposed to be watching that karban and saying, that should be me, God. I sacrifice myself to you. The intention of the person with his thought process and with his heart is towards God. V'lidabekbo, and to cling to him, v'lalechet bidvarchav, and to go in his ways. U'mimenu hareach hanichoach ole milamala. And from a person, that beautiful smell goes up. That beautiful smell goes up that says, Hashem, I want to connect to you. I'm trying. And he quotes the famous verse, the famous Chazal, Echad Hamarbe ve'Echad Hamamid. One can do more and one can do less. Milvad sheyechavein livo l'shamayim. But my heart should be directed to God. My heart can be pulled in so many directions. Let me direct my heart to God. And the biggest question I get from women and of all ages and stages is, I can't daven. I'm having such a hard time davening. I want to daven and I can't. And I want to share with you, and I didn't make a slide out of this, I apologize, but however many slides I made. One of my favorite mishalim from the Chavetz Chaim Zatzal. You know, we're growing up in a world that is so challenging, specifically when it comes to kavana and staying focused and staying with intention. And the fact that we are golesh ba internet, we just, you know what golesh glisha is in modern Hebrew? It's, can you answer what glisha is in modern Hebrew without internet? It's surfing, okay? So we're surfing around, and that's what our brain is used to doing. We click this, we click that, we click this, we click that. So davening has become even harder. And Rabbi Chassman says, you know who the Yetzer Hara is? The Yetzer Hara is a ganef. He's a ganef. He actually says he's a melech or a socher gadol. And he is very kind, very wily. And what he does is he builds around you fortresses and towers. But not only does he do that, he doesn't just like build distance between you and God. He also steals your heart. He distracts you with hevel vashtut. He distracts you with all sorts of silly, ridiculous things that all you're left with are words. And here I share with you the mashal of the Chavetz Chaim, because it's true. You know, very often we take our three steps back, Kishem Hashem Akra, Havu Godel Elokeinu, and all of a sudden we're staying in Modim. And where did Shemona Esrei go? Where did it go? And I see your smiles. You know what I'm talking about. And the Chafetz Chaim says, you should know though, that no matter where you're up to in davening, the mashal he gives, grab whatever you have and make the most of those couple of words that are left. And the mashal he gives is a mashal to a person who is given the opportunity to visit an island that is full of gems and jewels. And he goes on a boat and he travels to this island. And on this island, like us, he gets so distracted because there's movies there and there's a mall and there's WhatsApp and there's Instagram and there's who knows what on this island. Not in his mashal, but anyway, our island. And all of a sudden he hears the horn of the boat coming in. And there are gems and rubies all over the island and he didn't take anything and he has to go back now. So what does he do? He picks up his pants and whatever he has, he just stuffs in and he says, the Yetzer Hara may steal from you, but whatever you have left, grab it. It's your opportunity. We want our tefillah to have some reach nichoach l'Hashem, something sweet smelling, something. And it's an ongoing struggle. I tell you this, girls, because women of all ages, and it really has so much to do with the distracting world that we're in. The Yetzer Hara has gotten so much more successful. It's almost easy for him. Rahman Ali Babai, he wants our heart. So the Yetzer Hara goes and he steals our heart. He steals it from us. Okay, now I'm going to do an interesting exercise in screen sharing, because I found a source that really discussed what I'm going to share with you on the internet, and I couldn't get it onto the slideshow. So on the next slide, I have the link. And what I'm going to do now with you is copy it. If you want to copy it, you can go there too. I don't know how that would work for you. And we're going to look at it together. But I can tell you that as a teen, one of the most jarring and memorable experiences I had in terms of the koach of tefillah and understanding that Hashem says no sometimes was the story of Nachshon Waxman. So here goes us. Oops, it won't let me copy from, I know what I can do. Now I can copy it. Edit, copy. You're doing this journey with me.
Revitzen Feiner.
Yeah.
If you're switching to a browser, sometimes you need to unscreen share and then re-screen share in order for us to see that browser.
Let's see. Do you see it?
We don't see your whatever you're on, whatever browser you're on, we don't see.
We don't see it.
We just see the PowerPoint. Yeah. If you share it again.
I'll share it again.
It should go to.
Thank you for helping me.
We see it.
Okay. Now you see it.
Yes.
Okay, live and learn. This was my first time ever trying this. And as you see, this is from an NCSY website. This session looks at the tragic story of kidnapped soldier Nachshon Waxman, what happened to all the prayers and the good deeds that people did in the merit of his safe return. I don't know how many of you have heard about Nachshon Waxman, but this happened when I was a teen and I'm 45 years old. So I guess it happened about 30 years ago. After Nachshon Waxman, a corporal in the Israeli army, was kidnapped by Arab terrorists, his captors demanded the release of hundreds of their compatriots by 9 a.m. the following Friday morning. Nachshon's family, which his parents were American, by the way, and I'll tell you why that was relevant to my part, my experience in this story, asked the Israeli public to do whatever they could for their son's safety in a few areas. Everyone was asked to please pray and say Tehillim for Nachshon. Women were also specifically asked to light Shabbat candles on Friday night, making sure that they do it at the proper time before sunset. It was hoped that in the merit of the performance of these mitzvahs, Nachshon would be saved. So I can tell you that his parents were American, and girls understand that we did not have any internet then. It did not exist. It was probably being created-ish around then, but we did not have internet. And yet the plight of Nachshon came into all our homes, everywhere. Hey, I was a Beis Yaakov girl student. It was everywhere. It touched every Jewish family. And everybody did this. Everyone was saying Tehillim. Everybody was davening. The Israeli public's response was so positive that you may very well have gotten into a cab only to have the cabbie ask you to please say a book of Tehillim next to you in the backseat and start saying some chapters for Nachshon. I can't say Tehillim because I'm driving, the cabbie would say, but you can. On Thursday night, 24 hours before the ultimatum, a prayer vigil was held at the Western Wall. At the same hour, prayer vigils were held throughout the world in synagogues, schools, community centers, street squares, and yes, churches throughout the world. People of good faith everywhere hoped and pleaded and prayed for Nachshon. At the Western Wall, 100,000 people arrived with almost no notice. Hasidim in black frock coats and long side curls swayed and prayed and cried, side by side with young boys in torn jeans and ponytails and earrings. There was a total unity and solidarity of purpose among us, religious and secular, left-wing and right-wing, Sephardi and Ashkenazi, old and young, rich and poor, an occurrence unprecedented in our sadly fragmented society. After an army of intelligence tracked down where Nachshon was being held, the army decided their best bet would be to attempt to a rescue mission. Their operation was precisely planned, but during the operation, Nachshon and one other soldier were killed by the terrorists. Hashem Yikom Damam. After the news came out that Nachshon went up to Shemayim, it is very likely that many people who had witnessed such an extraordinary unity among the Jewish people asked themselves, including me at the time, what happened to all our prayers? What happened to all the mitzvot that we did? How can it be that everything went unanswered? So I started off with telling you, davening is not a shopping list. Tefillah is not a shopping list, and we're going to do a very, very, very yisodi piece of Michtav Meliyahu in a minute that will help us understand this. In fact, one anti-religious Israeli journalist even had the gall to ask this question to Esther Waxman, Nachshon's mother. What happened to all the tefillot, he asked her. Her spur-of-the-moment answer of, God did not answer, sometimes did answer, sometimes he just says no, unquestionably displays tremendous strength for anyone, especially for someone who just suffered such a loss. But there are those who heard this answer and got very upset. They were upset because they said there is no such thing as Hashem saying no. Hashem always says yes. We may not merit seeing where all the tefillot make all the difference, but they do. And shortly thereafter, the Waxman family found out exactly what happened to the merits that were created for their son. During the week of Shiva, observed by Nachshon's family, the soldiers who made up the unit that attempted to rescue came to visit the family and offer their condolences. One of the soldiers, who happened to be not religious, began speaking to Yehuda Waxman, Nachshon's father. You know, you are probably wondering what happened to all the tefillot and mitzvot and chapters of Tehillim that were said for your son, but I'll tell you, because we know exactly what happened to them. You see, when we were in that house where they were holding your son, we all should have died. We have no idea how we are alive today. There were bullets flying everywhere, over our heads, behind us, in front of us, everywhere. There were grenades being thrown into every corner. Bomb after bomb went off. None of us have any idea how we're alive today. It is simply should not have happened. You see, all those prayers said for the Jewish soldier named Nachshon Waxman were the only reason any of us are alive today. Hashem took all of those prayers and, for whatever reason, used them to save different Jewish soldiers. Girls, you know what I felt, because we all felt it. Is it 5 years already since those three yeshiva bachrim? Hashem yikom damam. We're kidnapped. We davened so hard for 18 days and they had been dead the whole time. And the answer is that all the tefillos go somewhere, but sometimes Hashem says no. And the question is, how do we understand that? How do we get to the crux of what really is tefillah? What really should tefillah mean to me? How do I understand what tefillah is? And girls, jot down your questions as we're going on. I'm going to take time at the end of this class to answer anything that I can with whatever yicholet I have. You can either chat them to me or ask them, however we want to do this at the end of class. But please, this is not just meant to be my own pontification without any discussion with you. But it's easier to do it at the end, if possible. And I'm going to be sharing with you some words of Rav Dessler in the Michtav Meliyahu Chelek Beis. And he brings a fascinating medrash And we're going to read some of it inside. We won't read all of it inside. I actually skipped a whole page in the Milsam Eliyahu just for the sake of time and the boredom that comes to some of us who don't understand the Hebrew sources. And but I feel that some of his words are just so very, very powerful. Okay, he's talking about Akedat Yitzchak. He's talking about when Avraham took his son to be sacrificed. And he quotes the Medrash Rabbah in Bereshis. I'm here. Amar lefanav. Avraham said to God, Ribon kol ha'olamim, master of the whole world. B'shasha amarta likachna. Where'd my pointer go? When you said to me, Tegna es bincha sichidcha, you told me to take my one and only son. Haya li lahashiv lecha. What could I have answered you? Etmol, yesterday, Amar Tali Kibi Yitzchak Yikare L'Chazera. Yesterday, you told me that Yitzchak would be all my progeny and everything and everyone that would come from me would be Yitzchak. Achshav, Ata Amar Tali Kachna, now you tell me, take him and kill him. Chas V'Shalom Lo Asisi King. But I didn't do it, God forbid. Ela Kavashti Rachami La'asos Ritzoncha. I conquered my compassion for my son to do what you asked. Please, it should be your will. Remember that Akedah. And the Psiksa says, he said to him, Ribono Shalom Galo, you know that I could have answered you with so many things. And I didn't ask you anything. And I didn't answer back. But I did myself, I made myself, ki ileimu kecheresh. I made myself like I was blind and mute. Vani lo kecheresh lo eshma v'ki ileim lo eftach bi. I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything, Abraham says. Sheyu banav shel Yitzchak nidonim, when the children of Yitzchak are judged, lo tishma lamatru mekatrigim. Don't listen to the accusers. If you continue reading on it, Rav Dessler, if you have been gebenched and lucky enough to have those skills in Hebrew reading, you see that what Abraham is saying is that his greatest accomplishment in this Akedah was that he did so without questioning Hashem. He didn't ask anything. He didn't question. He didn't hesitate. We know Vayash came Avraham Baboker. He got up in the morning and he moved and he went fast and he did. And he didn't ask. When he withstood this nisayon, Avram Avinu davened, that this koach should be in Klal Yisrael forever. Hashem, whatever you want. Right? What's going to be with our summer? Hashem, whatever you want. From one day to the next, we're going to camp. We're not going to camp. Camp is a resort. Camp is a hospital. Camp is a, what did somebody tell me today? The camp became a resort. And what she's going to do is give over guardianship of her children to the camp so that they will be the guardians of the children so that they can go to camp. Cuckoo, cuckoo, crazy world. Okay. Hashem. He says, Hashem, I want that the koach of his batla should be in Klal Yisrael. And that nobody should accuse them. And that's why he called the place where he was, Hashem Yireh, Hashem will see. Al Shema Asid for the future. And we do have this ability of his batlas, of recognizing. This is how Jews walked into gas chambers and said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God, we accept. We don't understand. This is the koach of Avram Avinu. We know that every koach that Avram, every test that Avram overcame, we have that koach. He calls it hitbatlut, which means I am batel legamrei to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever you want, that's what it is. And that's how Avram davened that Hashem should answer our tefillos. Tomorrow, when the children of Yitzchak come to David, that's us, you'll forgive them. This nekuda primit, This is the nekuda of recognizing truth. This is an amazing ability that we have. This amazing ability is that we recognize that Hashem's in charge and he knows what he's doing. And then he says something fantastic, which I'm sure you've never thought of unless you read this piece. And I'm sorry, I was trying to hold the page down so it would be flat when I scanned it. It didn't work perfectly because you can't have five hands when you're like scanning and you're like, you know what I'm talking about, girls? Yeah. So you got a little curve going on there. It's fine. Bi'or hadvarim hakdoshim. If we understand this, this is again the words of Rav Eliyahu Dessler in the Mechtam Eliyahu Tzchelek Beis. Ki imabitim al inyan hatfila mibchina eliyona. If we can really be like very, very, very upward thinking, okay? So we're lofty thinkers. Tamun ba'ksat chilol. There's a little chilol. There's a little desecration in prayer. Geder mitzvah tefillah hu she'adam tzarich levakish al kol tzrachav. Don't we define prayer as a person should ask for whatever they want? Isn't Shmon Esrei really a shopping list? Like we said, tefillah is not a shopping list, right? Heal us, redeem us, make us smart, get rid of the crazy government, which we really have. Crazy government now. I don't know how many of you in New York, but it's wacky here. Wacky governor, wacky mayor. Okay, so we dive in for so many things. But when a person asks from Hashem parnasa, refua v'chadoma, yesh be'etzem bakashaso me'ein chilul Hashem. This is when you ask for all these things, give me, send me a shidduch, help me do well on the test, is a little bit of a chilul Hashem. Don't worry, we're going to be okay in a minute, okay? How could you have the chutzpah to say to Hashem, how could you be so brazen to say, Hashem, I'm missing this? And this will be good for me. Please, 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 please. Right? Don't we get up every morning? And I've said this in many a shir, but it always behooves chazara. We say, Hashem oseli kol tzarki. Thank you. You gave me everything I need. And that's this idea of hispatlus, of the hispatlus of Avraham Avinu, that there are a lot of things that I would like that I don't have today, but I accept when I say this bracha each day that you gave me what I need for today and that I can accept that. But I still daven, haha. I want something else for tomorrow. I don't want this today. I don't want to be in New York tomorrow. I want to be in Yerushalayim, Hallelujah. You didn't give me everything I need. Like, that's the bottom line. So how can I say to Hashem, though, I think it would be better for me to be in Yerushalayim, Hallelujah. Kilu shemisupach bezeh, shekol mai d'avid rachmana l'tav avid. That means that maybe I doubt a little bit that everything Hashem did is for the good. Because whatever, I have to believe that whatever is good for me, Hashem is going to give me. So he's going to explain this. It seems to be a true conflict in our hashkafot of tefillah and how we understand what tefillah is. Not a shopping list, avod Hashem alev. It's a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we built this class. And I think that this really... this piece in Mechtov Liyo for me was the most yisodi piece that I ever learned in understanding what tefillah is and what it should be. Elabir hadavarhu. But this is what we explained. We can explain. Hihorshinu, we are permitted. Vigam nitztavinu lispalo al kol tzrachenu. We're told to daven, ula'avdol b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem. We are supposed to daven to Hashem and daven for what we need. Kimash, and right, we said, Hashem makes the tzaddikim suffer so they'll ask him for what they need. Kimash, and nidba beinenu kitzov avarenu, harei bein kach v'bein ko naseh kol ishtad liyosef shalos ta'kisigo. Because whatever we seem would be good for us, like for grass to grow or for the avos to have children, we're going to do whatever we can to make it happen. V'im lo nifnel b'tfila el mish ha'yacholetz be'emes b'yadom. If we're not going to turn in davening to the one who truly can enable grass to grow or for people to have children, Nivnal Rishus Acheres, no, we're going to turn to the stock market, to the doctors. Kigon Hateva Obnei Enosh, like nature or people. Ach Muvan Sheyesh Bezeh Min Chilul Gamkin. This is also a chilul. This is also a chilul. If I only go through the hishtadlut of what is in nature and what is in humanity, this is also a chilul. This is also a desecration of God. I didn't doubt it. I didn't ask Hashem for it. I didn't realize that hakol b'chocho, that everything is in his power. Oops, that's the end slide. You just got a little preview. So what's happening when we're davening? It looks like we're saying to Hashem that Hashem, you're holding back something that I really think is good for me, according to what I understand. And that you're only going to give it to me if I ask you for it. And this is what the Rikanti tells us in different places, that there are things that will hold back tefillah, you know, that can make tefillah not accepted, which I don't want to get into right now. But we're going to explain the chilul that can come. Okay, so it's a chilul. He says it's desecration of God to tell God, you're not giving me what I think is good, and I think I know what's good. It's a chilul to also not pray to God when you need something, because only he can give it to you. So this seems to be a tremendous contradiction. We're going to see that there can be harmony here in a moment. And his words are amazing. So what does he say? Gilui nekuda zot. Let's understand what we just explained from Avraham Avinu. That I need to make myself completely null and void before God. You know what you're doing, I don't. Even though it's stunning, I don't understand you, and what I could imagine, I don't know what you're doing. Also hanakuda pnimis, and this is an internal ability that we have, this ability to say, okay, God, whatever you want. God, it's going to be whatever you want, right? We know people who are getting engaged and people who are getting married. And I have a friend whose son got married on Monday, and Wednesday she still didn't even know where the wedding was going to be. Wherever Hashem wants it to be. Wherever Hashem wants it to be, that's what it's going to be. I can't. I don't know anything else. And this is the koach of Avraham Avinu. Hainu sheneida, and these are the words I repeat the most. We need to know shekol bakashatenu, everything we ask for, he rak lefimasha anu mevinim kitov lanu. It's only because this is what we understand is good for us. Behasagatenu hamugbelet, with our mindset that is mugbal, it has gvul, it is limited. Our mindset is limited. Ulam anu mitbatlim mifnei ritzono. So we say, God, I am batel before you. I am null and void. Ubetuchim sheyaseh satov ha'vaytzi. And I know you're going to do what's really good. Ha'ish ha'yisraeli, or isha ha'yisraelit, the Jew. Behar oso es atmo mucham lekabel es kol ma she'ishlach lo ha'Hashem yisbarach. When they show that they are ready to accept whatever Hashem sends them, ulekayim es ritzono. Oops, I lost it. And to do, and they will do his will. Be'ava mitocha esterim she'isavavenu, with love, even though things are so hidden. Mara zesh nekudas ha'akeda adayin ira b'libo. It's still awake in his heart. You're showing the akeda is awake in your heart. Ubezeh. And this can be the zechus for Hashem to give you what you asked for. But like Esther Waxman said, sometimes it's really just for that connection, for that Kiddush Hashem, that Hashem wants to connect to you. That there shouldn't be any accusers against you, and you should get what you're asking for. But I love these words. When we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we ask for anything, anu mevinim kitov lanu v'hasagatenu hamugbelet. We understand that whatever we're asking for is just with our tiny little brains. That's all we understand. That's all we really know. That's all we can really understand. And when we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand that We need you. That's Hashmini's kolich, ki kolich arev umarechna. That's your beautiful voice, Klal Yisrael, that you trust me. That you know that I know what I'm doing. And when you stand in tefillah, you stand like that. Ikar ha-tefillah hi bekavanas halev. Okay, like we said earlier, the main part of tefillah is the intent of your heart. Sheba mit'oreres nekudas ha-emes shelibeinu, ha-mitzarefes le-tefillaso. That shows the truth in our hearts that Hashem, we're connecting to you. You should still daven. You should still daven so that you don't forget that you should be davening. So even if you don't daven with kavana, keep davening. Okay. And he gives the example that if you don't have a good pair of tzitzis, you should wear something that's at least a little bit of tzitzis. Wear even your not good tzitzis so that you'll remember that you should be wearing tzitzis. Aval liskos b'derech ha-tefillah kazos kasheh me'od. But to really to have the zechus of true tefillah when you're not paying attention to anything you're saying is kasheh me'od. Ashrei ha-mechavein b'tefillah so. How fortunate is the person who can have kavana in their tefillah. Ashrei ha-mechavein b'tefillah so. And there is a lot of siyata dishmaya that is tully in this. And yes, like Esther Waxman said, sometimes the acceptance is that Hashem says, no, you thought this was good for you, but it wasn't. It's not. We trust you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know what you're doing. Yiratzon shimali Hashem kol mishalos libeinu letova. Hashem should answer everything that we ask for letova. We should hear the kol arev unavel, the shofar gadol, b'mheira v'yameinu. When no questions will be questions anymore, and all the answers will be as clear as day. Thank you for being with me. I'm stopping to share. Again, I have done this for a while. I've been giving the Zoom classes. Sometimes it works better for people to chat questions because there's so many of you here, and to start shouting out one at a time is a little bit difficult. But I think the chat is open, and you're welcome to start chatting. I'm not going away just yet. There are 90 girls here, close to 90 girls. Somebody wants to make a comment or say something? Nothing? Thank you is very nice. Thank you, Marnie. But does anyone, I'd love to open up a discussion. I'm getting thank yous, which is beautiful, but nothing from anybody? The discussion is always part of the fun. If that's the case, sometimes I don't want to put Mrs. Bernstein on the spot, but sometimes I'll say to the, if I'm with like a school or a principal, I'll say, maybe percolating in you is a question that the girls are being too shy to ask. I'm happy to
share, and then I see Marnie just added a question also.
Yes, I see my Gab did.
I'm struggling with the Rav Dessler a little bit. It's kind of trying to the emotions behind getting a feeling like a no, that you don't know what's best for yourself, right? This coming to the conclusion a little bit of getting emotionally to that place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows better always. And kind of steps that one can take in order to reach that level of emuna and bitachon, I would say.
Okay, and more questions are coming in, so thank you for opening with that, because I think, well, I really think that no one can deny that the fact is that we were put at this time period in history, clearly, to test our Emuna, and that is from the day God created us. He knew that we would be part of Corona 2020. And I think that surrendering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a constant in life. It really is a constant. Practical steps to surrendering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also recognizing him in my life. So when I'm constantly in a place where I see it so clearly, it's amazing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This wasn't what I thought would happen, but you made it happen, and okay, we got to do this. My freezer compressor blew yesterday. Okay, Hashem, it's what you want. This is what you want. And I'm going to do my best with this, and we're going to do the most with this. And yeah, I'd love to go to Eretz Yisrael. Who wouldn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael right now? We can't go. I can even go. But I can't go I wouldn't go because my son is severely disabled and he has Medicaid. And if we go out of the country for over 30 days, we lose Medicaid. So we could only go for 29 days and we'd have to be 2 weeks locked inside. So no. Hashem, you don't want us in Eretz Yisrael? This whole time period, what's the biggest question? Hashem, you don't want us in Shul? Hashem, you don't want a minyan? Hashem, it's the surrendering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a constant in life. It's a constant in life. And again, what Rav Dessler in many places reminds us is that kolchos of Avraham Avinu, which I just touched on the Lech Lecha part of Avraham Avinu, also wanting Eretz Yisrael so badly. Anything he had, we have. We have the ability to do that. We have the ability to surrender. That was Esther Waxman when she said, Hashem just said, no, I accept. And we shouldn't be tested with such horrible things. And a test of having to replace an expensive freezer part should be, you know, of the worst tests that people have in life, halavai v'chein. But it is a continuous avoda. I can expand on that, but I've been getting the same question a few times here. I bet you can. I don't know if we can all see the chat, but the question that keeps that came twice already is like when do I know that the no is final? I didn't bring up the Gemara that says, you know, afilu cherev chadam unachas al tzavaro shel adam al yimna atzmo min harachamim. That even if there's a short sword on a person's throat, you can still ask for rachamim. And we do have a concept in Judaism, and I'm going to use the most extreme example of when a person is actually in a place where their vitals are fading, and they're called goses halachically. And at that point in time, if you would ask a Rav what you should daven for, they would typically say rachamim. But not the rachamim of like coming back to life, just that everything should go smoothly and with compassion. So that until there's no chance of what's going to happen, of happening, I keep davening for it. What do I mean by that? I think the one that, you know, many of us as girls think of the most is the shidduch, the shidduch, the shidduch, the shidduch. And I say for as long as there are Jewish men in the world that are not married, I still get married. You know, people get married in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s and their 50s. Lo aleichem, that should not be for any of you. But marriage is potentially something that can always happen to a woman as long as there are Jewish men in the world. And there are. And people even convert. So we have new Jewish men. And people become from. So we have Baal Tshuva Jewish men. So there are new ones. Even if though we think there are not any left, there are. And yet, and I, you know, at there are certain things that at a certain point we don't daven for and we can't daven for anymore because we know then it's a no. So what would that be in terms of a woman's life? When a woman has passed menopause, I think it would be normal to say that she is not no longer going to daven to naturally conceive a child. because that's, we're asking Hashem to do something that is overtly miraculous. And that's not something that we normally daven for. So there's Rachmana Litzlan, a person lost a leg, to daven that it should miraculously grow back would also be something that we'd have to accept that that's a no. It doesn't mean that other yeses and other possibilities will open. It doesn't mean that a woman who is 55 can't adopt a child. But it means that that avenue is no longer open, so that sometimes there is a no. But the biggest proof that we have that we have something that seems to be out of our limits and yet we continue to daven for it is one of the Ikarim of the Rambam. Nope. Our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, everybody's been davening for Mashiach and we keep davening for it because it can still happen. So if it can still happen, we can continue to ask. Being that Hashem is always kind and compassionate to us and that he does everything for the best, isn't it disrespectful to ask Hashem for those things if he's already doing it? So that was the whole piece that Rav Dessler was teaching, which again is a very hard one to understand. It means that, and it is true, Rav Pinkus says that when we give the bracha to people at Rosh Hashanah time, we mevarech them, we give them bracha, they should have a shana tova umutzukra, and a sweet good new year. And he explained that because Hashem does good things, but it doesn't always taste sweet. And we want whatever he does to be sweet. So we can acknowledge, and we do acknowledge, that sometimes Hashem does things that hurt me. He does things that hurt me. It doesn't feel like the best. It doesn't feel like the best. Rav Soloveitchik would say, and my father, Zichrono Livracha, shared this with me, and I still remember where I was when he shared it with me because it was such a powerful message. When a person dies, we don't say, Baruch HaTov V'HaMeitzev, thank you, Hashem, you're so good. We say, Dayan HaEmes, which means, Hashem, I acknowledge that you know what you're doing, this hurts. So that Hashem dafka put us in situations. He made the imahos barren. He made the grass not grow because he wants us to reach out to him and recognize that we know he's holding the keys. He's holding the keys and only he can open the door. And that's exactly what he's pushing us for. And therefore we keep asking. And we ask, and we're supposed to daven for everything. You know, I think it's Pesach Kron, or one of the storytellers who tells the story of the man who's at the Kotel, and he sees a guy coming on his motorcycle with his leather jacket and his chains and his piercings and his this and his that. And he puts a note in the wall, and whoever it is nearby and can't withstand the temptation to see what did this guy put in the wall. And he pulls out the note and it says, please make Maccabi win the, you know, whichever game was coming up. Hakol biyado. Hakol biyado. And we can ask for anything. We can ask for it soon. We can ask for it later. We can ask for it HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? But we're asking for Mashiach. We say, V'sechazena einenu. We want to see this. We don't want to wait. Bring Mashiach now. We want it now. Hashem, you might not think that it's best for it to come now, but we'd like it now. And that is the yin yang of tefillah. Hashem, I'd like this. I trust you. I trust you. I'd like this. I'd like this. I trust you. I trust you. I'd like this. And he wants us to ask. And that is the entire Shmona Esrei, is a shopping list of things that we ask. It is. And that's what we're supposed to do. And that is what is expected of us. With that place, from that perspective of saying, I recognize that you know what you're doing. Somebody asked a practical question. How do you stay motivated to wake up and daven well when you have so much free time and you could just sleep in? How do you stay motivated in anything in Judaism? Keep yourself inspired. You came to the shiur tonight. I hope it worked. I don't know what I did, if I said something good, if I didn't. Keep listening to the meaningful minutes and talking to inspiring people and hanging out if you can socially, distantly, or hopefully maybe some of you have inspiring people in your house, which would be very, very nice for you. I just saw two sisters and one looked at the other, which was very sweet. You're on my screen. There are only actually five faces on my screen. So two sisters and myself is one of them, but the two sisters are there. So hopefully we have some inspiring people in our own homes. And yes, girls, you need to inspire one another. And we all know, and this is a discussion that I always have with my students, we all know which friends are going to pick me up and make me feel stronger and which friends are not. So we want to connect to the ones that will pick me up and make me feel stronger. And I have to know who those people are in my life. So I'm not feeling so inspired. I'm not going to want to get up and I'm going to want to roll over. And I have to tell you, and the kavana factor is very, very hard. And it's only getting harder, and it's hard on me and it's hard on you. And it really is because our brains were programmed to just scan. And that focus is such a problem in the world today. I recently participated in the Torah Masorah, which is one of the largest chinuch organizations in the United States of America, did a virtual conference. They had most of the presenters do 10-minute bites because that's what people can handle. So that just shows where the human brain is at today in terms of attention. It's a challenge. Some practical advice in terms of how to make the tefillah more meaningful to me and take it more seriously. I really do believe that a lot of what we have out there in meditative methodology really works for tefillah. So really before you start davening, like take a deep breath, focus, it works. I had a cousin who is a black belt in karate, and he actually, and karate has a lot of meditative techniques and a lot of concentrative techniques, and he actually put them all into a mincha shemone esrei on a Shabbos afternoon, and he testified, this is what happened to him. He finished shemone esrei, he was drenched with sweat, and Shabbos was over. This happens on a mincha and Shabbos, and that's what happened. But so I don't know that we all know how to meditate like that anyway, but take a deep breath and focus and ask Hashem for siyata d'shmaya. That's one. Two, Rav Volba talks about this, and I think it is in Chazal. Fortunate is the person who has a place, the same place where they daven. That you have a makom hatzvila, you have a place for your davening. This is your davening place in your house. This is where you daven. And when you daven, you are dressed like a person who is ready to daven. Whatever that means for you, we don't daven our pajamas. We get dressed in a respectable way to be standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, we begin our Shemone Esrei with Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Hashem, help me. Help me pay attention. Help me pay attention. One of the practical steps that I recommend to people is like pick two lines of davening that you'll really pay attention to. Rav Volba says if you really want to work in emunah and bitachon, two brachos in the morning to pay attention to. Hamechi mitzadei gaver, that you prepare my footsteps where I'm going. And oseli kol tzarki, and you give me everything I need. Just pay attention to those two, or pick a bracha in Shemone Esrei. You know, right now, what do I pay attention to? All the names of the people that I'm davening for Refuah Shleimus. And Baruch Hashem, I can tell you that more people have been erased from my list because they've had Refuos than the opposite reason, Chas V'Shalom. And we should continue to see that happening all over the place. Somebody shared that she's reading the story of starting of the Shava Ma'on, and she finished a chapter about Beit Nachshon, that they have a house in Shava Ma'on, I guess for special children, I think if it's Shava, and that's called Beit Nachshon. And that Shava is an incredible place in memory of Nachshon Weissman, to have a place like that. You know, to think that he was, I didn't look up the date, and somebody can do that for me right now, but I'm assuming it's about 30 years ago. Like this is somebody who would be 50 years old today. Crazy to think, you know, died as a teenager. Hashem Yikom Damo. But what a message his mother shared with the world, that Hashem sometimes says no. And it should be a zechus for every time he's mentioned, and we were inspired by his memory. It's an aliyah for his neshama, which is very special for all of us. Yeah. Thank you. October 14th, 1994. Thank you, Marnie. Yep, that's when it was. It's crazy. Really crazy. Okay, girls. This was fun. Fun to be back with you. And everybody should have a meaningful summer. Yeah, halavai. Halavai we meet in Yerushalayim HaPnuya, right? It would be